Lecture 3, Choice. Choice functions. Until now, we have avoided any reference to behavior. We have talked about preferences as a summary of the decision maker's mental attitude toward a set of alternatives. But economics is about action, and therefore we now move on to modeling agent behavior. By a description of agent's behavior, we will refer not only to his actual choices, made when he confronts a certain problem, but to a full description of his behavior in all scenarios we imagine he might confront in a certain context. Consider a grand set X of possible alternatives. We view a choice problem as a non-empty subset of X, and we refer to a choice form A, a subset of X, as specifying one of A's members. Modeling a choice scenario as a set of alternatives implies assumptions of rationality according to which the agent choice does not depend on the way the alternatives are presented. For example, if the alternatives appear in a list, he ignores the order in which they are presented and the number of times an alternative appears in the list. If there is an alternative with a default status, he ignores that detail as well. As a rational agent, he considers only the set of alternatives available to him. In some contexts, not all choice problems are relevant. Therefore, we allow that the agent's behavior be defined only on a set D of subsets of the grand set X. We will refer to a pair XD as a context. Example. Imagine that we are interested in a student's behavior regarding his selection from the set of universities to which he has been admitted. Let X be the set X1, X2, X capital N. X is the set of all universities with which the student is familiar. A choice problem A is interpreted as the set of universities to which he has been admitted. If the fact that the student was admitted to some subset of universities does not imply his admission outcome for other universities, then the natural set D contains all the n to the power n minus 1 non-empty subsets of X. But if, for example, the universities are listed according to difficulty in being admitted, X1 being the most difficult, and if the fact that the student is admitted to XK means that he is admitted to all less prestigious universities, that is, to all XL with L greater than K, then D will consist of the N sets, A1, AN, where AK is the set which contains XK, XK plus 1, and so on until XN. 2. Imagine a scenario in which a decision maker is choosing whether to remain with the status quo S or choose an element in some set Y. We formalize such a scenario by defining X to be the set Y union with S, and identifying the domain of the choice function D as the set of all subsets of X that contain the status quo S. We think about an agent's behavior as an hypothetical response to a questionnaire that contains questions of the following type, one for each set A in the set D, or QA, is the question, assume you must choose from a set of alternatives A, which alternative do you choose? A permissible response to the questionnaire requires that the agent select a unique element in A for every question Q of A. We implicitly assume that the agents cannot give any other answer, such as I choose either A or B, or the probability of my choosing A is P of A, or I don't know. Formally, given a context XD, a choice function C assigns to each set A in the set D, in the domain D, a unique element of A, with the interpretation that CA is the chosen element from the set A. Our understanding is that the decision maker behaving in accordance with the function C will choose C of A if he has to make a choice from set A. This does not mean that we can actually observe the choice function. At most, we might observe some particular choices made by the decision maker in some instances. Thus, a choice function is a description of a hypothetical behavior. Rational choice functions. It is typically assumed in economics that choice is an outcome of rational deliberation. Namely, the decision maker has in mind a preference relation on the set X, and given any choice problem A in the domain D, it chooses an element in A that is, according to these preferences, optimal. Assuming that it is well defined, we define the induced choice function C, index preferences, as the function that assigns to every non-empty set A in the domain the optimal element in A. Note that the preference relation is fixed, that is, it is independent of the choice set being considered. Rationalizing. Economists were often criticized for making the assumptions that decision makers maximize the preference relation. The most common response to this criticism is that we don't really need this assumption. All we need to assume is that the decision maker's behavior can be described as if he were maximizing some preference relation. Let us state this economic defense more precisely. We'll say that the choice function C can be rationalized if there is a preference relation on X so that C is equal to C of the preferences, namely CA equal to C index preferences A for any A in the domain of C. We'll now identify a condition under which a choice function can indeed be presented as if derived from some preference relation, i.e. can be rationalized. Condition alpha. We say that the function C satisfies condition alpha if for any two problems A, B, and D, any two choice problems A, B, and D, if A is a subset of B and CB is a member of A, then CA equal to CB. Note that if the preferences is a preference relation on X, then C index preferences defined on a set of subsets of X that have a single most preferred element, satisfies condition alpha. As an example of a choice procedure that does not satisfy condition alpha, consider the second best procedure. The decision maker has in mind an ordering on X, i.e. a complete asymmetric and transitive binary relation, and for any given choice problem set A, chooses the element from A, which is the according to these preferences, the maximal from the non-optimal alternatives. If A contains all the elements in B, besides the maximal alternative, then CB is a member of A, a subset of B, but CA is not a member of CB. We will show now that condition alpha is a sufficient condition for a choice function to be formulated as if the decision maker is maximizing some preference relation. Proposition. Assume that C is a choice function with a domain containing at least all subsets of A of X of size 2 and 3, or 3. If C satisfies condition alpha, then there is a preference relation on X so that C is equal to the C index those preferences. Proof. Define preferences by X is at least as good as Y if X is chosen from the subset which contains X and Y. Let us first verify that the relation that we've just defined is a preference relation. Completeness. This follows from the fact that C of the subset XY is always well defined. Transitivity. If X is at least as good as Y, and Y is at least as good as Z, then C of the subset XY is X, C of the subset YZ is Y. If C of the subset XZ is not X, then it must be Z. By condition alpha, then CXZ is Z, and CXYZ must be not X. By condition alpha, and the fact that CXY is X, then CXYZ is not Y. And again, by condition alpha, and the fact that C of the subset YZ is Y, it follows that CXYZ is not Z. So, this is a contradiction to to the assumption that, or to the requirement that CXYZ must be one of the three elements X, Y, and Z. We'll have to show that CB is equal to the C induced from the preferences B, namely the maximal element according to those preferences from the element in B. Assume that CB equal to X and C preferences B is not X. That is, there is an element Y in B such that Y is strictly better than X. By definition of the preferences, this means that CXY is Y, and this contradicts a conditional alpha.
Dutch book arguments. Some of the justifications for the assumption that choice is determined by rational deliberation are normative. That is, they reflect a perception that people should be rational in this sense. If they are not, they should either convert to reasoning of this type or disappear. One interesting class of arguments supporting this approach is referred to in the literature as Dutch book arguments. The claim is that an economic agent who behaves according to a choice function that is not induced for maximization of a preference relation will not survive. The following is a sad story about a monkey in a forest with three trees, A, B, and C. The monkey is about to pick a tree to sleep in. Assume that the monkey can assess only two alternatives at a time, and that his choice function is from AB chooses B, from BC chooses C, from AC chooses A. Obviously, his choice function cannot be derived from a preference relation over the set of trees. Assume that whenever he is on tree X, it comes to his mind occasionally to jump to one of the other trees. Namely, he makes a choice from a set XY where Y is one of the trees, the other two trees. This induces the monkey to perpetually jump from one tree to another, not a particularly desirable mode of behavior in the jungle. Another argument, which is more appropriate to human beings, is called the money pump argument. Assume that the decision maker behaves like a monkey with respect to three alternatives A, B, and C. Assume that for every X and Y, the choice CXY equal Y is strong enough so that whenever he is about to choose alternative X and somebody gives him the option to choose Y, he is ready to pay 1 cent for the opportunity to do so. Now imagine a manipulator who presents the agent with the choice problem ABC. Whenever the decision maker is about to make the choice A, the manipulator allows him to revise his choice to B for 1 cent. Similarly, every time he's about to choose B or C, the manipulator sells him for 1 cent the opportunity to choose C or A accordingly. The decision maker will cycle through the intentions to choose A, B, and C until his pockets are emptied or until he learns his lesson and changes his behavior. The above arguments are open to criticism. In particular, the elimination of patterns of behavior that are inconsistent with rationality require an environment in which the economic agent is indeed confronted with the above sequence of choice problems. The arguments are presented here as interesting ideas and not necessarily as convincing arguments for rationality. What is an alternative? Some of the cases where rationality is violated can be attributed to the incorrect specification of the space of alternatives. Consider the following example taken from Lusenreifer 1957. A diner in a restaurant chooses chicken from the menu which contains steak tartare, chicken, but chooses steak tartare from the menu which contains steak tartare, chicken, and frog legs. At first glance, it seems that he is not rational, since his choice conflicts with condition alpha. However, assume that the motivation for the choice is that the existence of frog legs is an indication of the quality of the chef. If the dish frog legs isn't on the menu, the cook must then be a great expert, and the decision maker is happy ordering steak tartare, which requires expertise to make. If the menu lacks frog legs, the decision maker does not want to take the risk of choosing steak tartare. Rationality is restored if we make the distinction between steak tartare served in a restaurant where frog legs are also on the menu, and the cook must then be a real chef, and steak tartare in a restaurant where frog legs are not served, and the cook is likely a novice. Such a distinction makes sense because the steak tartare is not the same in the two choice sets. Note that if we define an alternative to be a pair A, comma, capital A, where A is a physical description and capital A is a choice problem, any choice function C can be rationalized by a preference relation satisfying that the pair CA taken from the set A is at least as good as the pair the alternative A is chosen from a set capital A. The lesson to be learned from the above discussion is that care must be taken in specifying the term alternative. An alternative small a must have the same meaning for every choice problem capital A which contains small a.
Choice functions as an internal equilibrium. The choice function definition we have been using requires that a single element be assigned to each choice problem. If the decision maker follows the rational man procedure using preference relation with indifferences, the previously defined induced choice function might be undefined because for some choice problems there would be more than one optimal element. This is one of the reasons that in some cases we use the alternative following concept to model behavior. A choice correspondent C is required to assign to every non-empty A a subset of X, a non-empty subset of A, that is, CA is a subset of A, non-empty. According to our interpretation of a choice problem, a decision maker has to select a unique element from every choice set. Thus, CA cannot be interpreted as the choice made by the decision maker when he has to make a choice from A. The revised interpretation of CA is the set of all elements in the set A that are satisfactory in the sense that if the decision maker is about to make a decision and chooses an alternative in the set C of A, he has no desire to move away from it. In other words, the induced choice correspondence reflects an internal equilibrium. If the decision maker facing a set A considers an alternative outside the set C of A, he will continue searching for another alternative. If he happens to consider an alternative inside the set C of A, he will take it. A related interpretation of the set C of A involves viewing it as the set of all elements in A that may be chosen under any of many possible particular circumstances not including the description of the set A. Formally, let the pair A, F be an extended choice set where F is the frame that accompanies the set A. Like F may be the default alternative or the order of the alternatives. Let C of AF be the choice of the decision maker from the choice set A given the frame F. The extended choice function C induces a choice correspondence by C of A is the set of all X such that for some frame F, X equal to CAF. Given a preference relation, we define the induced choice function, assuming it is never empty, as C, induced by the preferences at the set A, is the set of all elements X in A, which are maximal in A. When X and Y are in A, and X is in C and C of A, we say that X is revealed to be at least as good as Y. If in addition Y is not a member of C of A, we say that X is revealed to be strictly better than Y. Condition alpha is now replaced by condition WA, the weak axiom, which requires that if X is revealed to be at least as good as Y, then Y is not revealed to be strictly better than X. The weak axiom of revealed preference WA, we say that C, the choice correspondence C, satisfies the weak axiom if whenever two elements X and Y are in the intersection of A and B, X is in the set C of A and Y is a member of C of B, it's also true that X is a member of C of B. The weak axiom trivially implies two properties. Condition alpha, if element A is in A and A is a subset of B and A is chosen in C of B, then A is also a member of C of A. Condition beta, if A and B are in A, subset of B, and A is a member of C of A, and B is a member of C of B, then A is also a member of C of B. Notice that if C of A contains all elements that are maximal according to some preference relation, then C satisfies WA. Also, verify that condition alpha and WA are equivalent for any choice function with the domain, satisfying that if A and B are included in domain, then so is the intersection. Note also that for the next proposition, we could make do with a weaker version of the weak axiom, which makes the same requirement only for any two sets A and B, such that A is a subset of B, and A is a set of two elements. Proposition. Assume that C is a choice correspondence with a domain that includes at least all subsets of size 2 and 3. Assume that C satisfies the weak axiom. Then there is a preference relation so that the correspondent C equal to the correspondent which is induced by the preferences. Proof. Define X is at least as good as Y if X is a member of the choice set from the set XY. We now show that the relation is a preference. Completeness. This follows from the fact that C of any set is non-empty, in particular of the set which contains X and Y. Transitivity. If X is at least as good as Y and Y is at least as good as Z, then X is a member of the choice from XY and Y is a member of the set of the choice from YZ. Therefore, by condition beta, if Y is a member of the choice set from XYZ, then X is a member of this set as well. And if Z is a member of the choice from XYZ, then Y is, and therefore X is well. Thus, in any case, X is a member of the choice set from XYZ. By condition alpha, X is therefore also a member of the choice from XZ, namely X is at least as good as Z. It remains to be shown that for every B, C of B equal to C of the induced preferences at the set B. Assume that X is in CB and X is not in C preferences of B. That is, there is Y in B, so that it's not true that X is at least as good as Y by this relation. In other words, CXY equal to the set which the singleton Y, thus contradicting condition alpha. On the other hand, assume that X is a member of C preferences at the set B, and X is not a member of C of B. Let Y be a member of C of B. By condition beta, X is not a member of the set choice from the set XY, and thus the choice of XY is the singleton Y. Therefore, Y is strictly better than X, contradicting that X is the maximal element in the set B. The satisfying procedure. The fact that we can present any choice function satisfying condition alpha or the weak axiom as an outcome of the optimization of some preference relation provides support for the view that the scope of microeconomic models is wider than simply models in which agents carry out explicit optimization. But have we indeed expanded the scope of economic models? Consider the following decision scheme, named Satisfying by Herbert Simon. Let V be a function from X into the reals, evaluation of the elements in R. Namely, V of X is the value of the element X. And let V star be a number, a threshold of satisfaction. Let O be an ordering of the alternatives in the set X. Given a set A, the decision maker arranges the elements of this set in a list, denoted L of A, the set A, and the ordering O. The list is, of course, according to the ordering O. It then chooses the first element in LAO that has a V value at least as large as V star. If there is no such element in the set A, the decision maker chooses the last element in the list LAO. Let us show that the choice function induced by this procedure satisfies condition alpha. Assume that A is chosen from the set B and is also a member of a subset of B, A. The list LAO is obtained from LBO by eliminating all elements in B which are not in A.
If V of the element A, the one which was chosen from the set B, is greater or equal V star, then A is the first satisfactory element in LBO and also the first satisfactory alternative in LAO. Thus, A is chosen from the shorter list as well. If all elements in B are unsatisfactory, then A must be the last element in LBO. Since A is a subset of B, all elements in A are unsatisfactory as well, and A is the last element in LAO as well. Thus, A is chosen from the set A. Note, however, that even a small variation in this scheme can lead to a variation of the procedure such that it no longer satisfies condition alpha. For example, satisfying using two orderings, let X be a population of university graduates who are potential candidates for a job. Given a set of actual candidates, count their number. If the number is smaller than 5, order them alphabetically. If the number of candidates is above 5, order them by their social security number. Whatever ordering is used, choose the first candidate whose undergraduate average is above 85. If there are none, choose the last student on the list. Condition alpha is not satisfied. It may be that in alternative A, student A is the first candidate with a satisfactory grade in a long list of students ordered by their social security number. Still, this element might not be the first candidate with a satisfactory grade on a list of only 3 of the candidates appearing on the original list when they are ordered alphabetically. To summarize, the satisfying procedure, though it is stated in a way that seems unrelated to the maximization of a preference relation or utility function, can be described as if the decision maker maximizes a preference relation. I know of no other examples of interesting general schemes for choice procedures that satisfy condition alpha other than the rational man and the satisfying procedures. However, later on, when we discuss consumer theory, we will come across several other appealing examples of demand functions that can be rationalized, though they appear to be unrelated to the maximization of a preference relation. Psychological motives not included within the framework. The more modern attack on the standard approach of to modeling economic agents comes from psychologists, notably from Amos Tversky and Daniel Kahneman. They have provided us with beautiful examples demonstrating not only that rationality is often violated, but that there are systematic reasons for the violation resulting from certain elements within our decision procedures. Here are a few examples of this kind that I find particularly relevant. Framing. The following experiment, conducted by Tversky and Kahneman 86, demonstrates that the way in which alternatives are framed may affect decision-makers' choices. Subjects were asked to imagine being confronted by the following choice problem. An outbreak of disease is expected to cause 600 deaths in the U.S. Two mentally exclusive programs are expected to yield the following results. Program A, 400 people will die. Program B, with probability 1/3, 0 people will die. With probability 2/3, 600 people will die. In the original experiment, a different group of subjects was given the same background information and asked to choose from the following alternatives. C, 200 people will be saved. D, with probability 1/3, all 600 people will be saved. And with probability 2/3, none will be saved. Whereas 78% of the first group chose B, only 28% of the second group chose D. These are problematic results since by any reasonable criterion, A and C are identical alternatives, and so are B and D. Thus, the choice from the set AB should be consistent with the choice from the set CD. Both questions were presented in the above order to 1,200 students taking game theory courses with the result that 73% chose B and 49% chose D. It seemed plausible that many students kept in mind their answer to the first question while responding to the second one, and therefore the level of inconsistency was reduced. Nonetheless, a large proportion of students gave different answers to the two problems, which makes the finding even more problematic. Overall, the results expose the sensitivity of choice to the framing of the alternatives, what is more basic to rational decision-making than taking the same choice when only the manner in which the problems are stated is different? Simplifying the choice problem and the use of similarities. The following experiment was also conducted by Tversky and Kalman. One group of subjects was presented with the following choice problem. Choose one of the two roulette games, A and O B. Your prize is the one corresponding to the outcome of the chosen roulette game as specified below. And in the tables, and the tables are according to roulette A, the chances are with probability 90%, the price is 0, with probability 6%, the price is 45, and the color is red, the color of the 90 was white, the color green, chance 1%, and the price is $30, the color yellow, the chance is 3%, and the price is minus 15. I repeat, white, 90% 0, red, 6% 45, green, 1% 30, yellow, 3% minus 15. According to roulette B, white, 90% 0, red, 7% 45, green, 1% minus $10, yellow, 2% minus $15. A different group of people, a subject, was presented the same background information and asked to choose between roulette C and roulette D. Roulette C, 5 colors, white, 90% 0, red, 6% $45, green, 1% $30, blue, 1% minus $15, yellow, 2% minus $15. Roulette D, the color white, 90% 0, like in C, red, 6% $45, like in C, green, 1% $45 versus 1% $30 in C, blue 1% minus $10 versus what was 1% and minus 15 in C, and yellow 2% minus 15 like in C. In the original experiment, 58% of the subjects in the first group chose A, whereas nobody in the second group chose C. When the two problems were presented one after the other to about 1,350 students, 52% chose A, 7% chose C. Interestingly, the median response time among the students who answered A was 53 seconds, whereas the median response time of the students who answered B was 90 seconds, much higher. The results demonstrate a common procedure people practice when confronted with a complicated choice problem. We often transfer the complicated problem into a simpler one by canceling similar elements. Although D clearly dominates C, the comparison between A and B is not as easy. Many subjects cancel the probabilities of white, yellow, and red, and are left with comparing the prices of green, a process that leads them to choose A. Incidentally, several times in the past when I presented these choice problems in class, I've had students, some of the best students in fact, who chose C. They explained that they identified the second problem with the first one and used the procedural rule, I choose A from AB, the alternatives C and D are identical to the alternatives A and B respectively, it's only natural then that I choose C from CD. This observation brings to our attention the fact that the model of rational men does not allow dependence of choice from a set B on the previous choices made by the decision maker.
Reason-based choice. Making choices sometimes involves finding reasons to pick one alternative over the others. When the deliberation involves the use of reasons strongly associated with the problem at hand, what I call internal reasons, we often find it difficult to reconcile the choice with the rational man paradigm. Imagine, for example, a European student who would choose Princeton if allowed to choose from Princeton and LSE, and would choose LSE if he had to choose from Princeton, Chicago, and LSE. His explanation is that he prefers an American university so long as he does not have to choose between American schools, a choice he deems harder. To choose from Princeton, Chicago, and LSE, he finds it difficult deciding between Princeton and Chicago, and therefore chooses not to cross the Atlantic. His choice does not satisfy condition alpha, not because of a careless specification of the alternatives, as in the restaurant's menu example discussed previously, but because his reasoning involves an attempt to avoid the difficulty of making decision. A better example was suggested to me by a student, Federico Filippini, who wrote to me the following. Imagine there is an handsome guy called Albert who is looking for a date to take to a party. Albert knows two girls that are crazy about him, both of whom would love to go to the party. The two girls are called Mary and Laura. Of the two, Albert prefers Mary. Now imagine that Mary has a sister, and this sister is also crazy about Albert. Albert must now choose between the three girls, Mary, Mary's sister, and Laura. With this third option, I bet that if Albert is rational, he will be taking Laura to the party. Another example follows Huber, Penn, and Puto, 1982. Let A be a vector A1, A2, be an holiday package of A1 days in Paris and A2 days in London. Choose one of the following four vectors. A equal to 7, 4. B equal to 4, 7, namely 4 days in Paris and 7 in London. 6 equal to 6, 3. And D equal to 3, 6. I repeat, 7, 4, 4, 7, 6, 3, and 3, 6. All subjects in the experiment agreed that a day in Paris and a day in London are desirable goods. Some of the subjects were requested to choose between the three alternatives A, B, and C. Others had to choose between A, B, and D. The subjects exhibited a clear tendency towards choosing A out of A, B, C, and B out of A, B, D. A related experiment is reported in Shafir, Simonson, and Tversky, 1993. A group of subjects was asked to imagine having to choose between a camera priced $170 and a better camera by the same producer with cost $240. Another group of subjects was asked to imagine having to choose between three cameras, the two described above, and a third, much more sophisticated camera priced at $470. The addition of the third alternative significantly increased the proportion of subjects who chose the 240 camera. The common sense explanation for this choice is that subjects face a conflict between two desires, to buy a better camera and to pay less. They resolve the conflict by choosing the compromise alternative once it becomes a compromise alternative when we add the expensive camera. To conclude, decision makers look for reasons to prefer one alternative over the other. Typically, making decisions by using external reasons, which do not refer to the properties of the choice set, will not cause violations of rationality. However, applying internal reasons, such as I prefer the alternative A over the alternative B, since A clearly dominates the other alternative C, while B does not, might cause conflicts with condition alpha. Mental accounting. The following intuitive example is taken from Kahneman and Tversky in 1984. Members of one group of subjects were presented with the following question. Imagine that you have decided to see a play and paid the admission price of $10 per ticket. As you enter the theater, you discover that you have lost the ticket. The seat was not marked and the ticket cannot be recovered. Would you pay $10 for another ticket? Members of another group were asked to answer the following question. Imagine that you have decided to see a play where the admission is $10 per ticket. As you arrive at the theater, you discover that you have lost $10, a $10 bill. Would you still pay $10 for a ticket for the play? If the rational man cares only about seeing the play and his wealth, he should realize that there is no difference between the consequence of replying yes to question one and replying yes to question two. In both cases, he will own a ticket and will be poorer by $20. Similarly, there is no difference between the consequence of replying no to question one and no to question two. Thus, the rational man should give the same answer to both questions. Nonetheless, only 46% of the subjects said that they would buy another ticket after they had lost their first one, whereas 88% said they would buy a ticket after losing the banknote. In the data I collected among about 1,200 subjects, the gap is much smaller, 64 and 80, accordingly. It's likely that in this case, subjects have conducted the calculation where they compare the mental price of a ticket to its subjective value. Many of those who decided not to buy another ticket after losing the first one attributed the price of $20 to the ticket rather than $10. Therefore, if they were ready to pay something between $10 and $20, they would say yes to to they would buy a ticket for $10 but will refuse to buy the ticket after they lost the first one. This example demonstrates that decision makers may conduct mental calculations that are inconsistent with rationality. Modeling choice procedures. There is a large body of evidence showing that decision makers systematically use procedures of choice that violate the classical assumptions and that the rational man paradigm is lacking. The accumulated evidence has had an effect on the development of economic theory, and in recent years we have seen the introduction of more and more economic models in which economic agents are assumed to follow alternative procedures of choice. In this section, we focus on one particular line of research that attempts to incorporate such decision makers into economic models. Classical models have characterized economic agents using a choice function. The statement CA equal A, C of capital A equal small a, means that the decision maker selects small a when choosing from the set of alternatives capital A. We are about to enrich the concept of a choice problem such that it will include not only the set of alternatives, but additional information as well. This additional information is considered to be relevant to the interest of the decision maker, but may nevertheless affect his choice. Here we will be dealing with a case in which the additional information consists of a default option. The statement C of capital A small a equal to B means that when facing the choice problem A, with the default alternative small a, the decision maker chooses the alternative B. Experimental evidence and introspection tell us that the default option is often viewed positively by decision makers, a phenomenon known as the status quo bias, which will play a role in the following discussion. Let X be a finite set of alternatives. Define an extended choice function to be a function that assigns a unique element in A to every pair capital A small a, a set A, a default small a, where A is a subset of X and A is a member of the choice set A. A default bias procedure is an extended choice function characterized by a utility function U and a bias function B, which assigns a non-negative number to each alternative. The function U is interpreted as representing the true preferences. The number B of X is interpreted as the bonus attached to X when it is the default alternative. Given an extended choice function AA, capital A small a, the procedure denoted by DBP index U function U, the function B, selects DBP given U and B of the subset A and AA is either X, which is non-default if UX is greater equal U of the default plus the bonus of the default, and UX is greater than UY for any other Y. On the other hand, DBP of UB is the default point if UA plus the bonus A is strictly greater than UX for every other X in A. Our aim is to characterize the set of extended choice functions that can be described in this way for some function U and the function B. We'll adopt two assumptions. The weak axiom. We say that an extended choice function C satisfies the weak axiom if there are no sets A and B and two members A and B in the intersection of the two sets, and two XY which are not in AB, such that C of the, from the set A given the default A is A, but C of B given default A is B, is another element B. And it's impossible that there will be C of AX equal A and C of BY equal B. The weak axiom states that if A is revealed to be better than B in a choice problem where A is the default, then there cannot be any choice problem in which B is revealed to be better than A when A is the default. The second part, if A is revealed to be better than B in a choice problem where neither A nor B is the default, there cannot be any a choice problem in which B is revealed to be better than A when again neither A nor B is in the default. comment, the weak axiom implies that for every A, there is a preference relation, preference indexed A, such that C of A, A is the preference indexed A, maximal element in the set A. To see this, let Y index A be the set of all the alternatives different than A, for which there exists a set B such that X is chosen from B when A is the default. Consider the choice function on the grand set YA defined by D of Y equal to the choice, the original choice from the set Y union the default small a given the default A for any set Y which is a subset of YA. Applying the weak axiom regarding the extended choice function, the choice function capital D, the new one, on the subset Y index A satisfies condition alpha, and thus there is an ordering index A on Y indexed A, such that D of Y is the indexed A maximum element in the set Y. Now extend the preference A so that A will be just below all the elements in YA and above all elements outside YA, which can be ordered in any way to obtain the conclusion. Second axiom, the default tendency. If CAX equal A, then CA, when the index is A, is also A. The second assumption states that if a decision maker chooses A from a set capital A when X is the default different than A, he does not change his mind if X is replaced as a default by A. Proposition. An extended choice function satisfies the weak axiom and DT, the default tendency, if and only if it is a default bias procedure. First, consider the default bias procedure C, characterized by the functions U and B. It satisfies DT because for any two sets, A and B, and two elements A and B in the intersection, if CAX equal A and X is not A, then U of A is greater than UY for any Y which is not A in A. Thus, also UA plus BA is greater than UY for any Y which is distinct from different than A in A. And thus, C of AA equal A. The weak axiom. If C of AA is A and C of BA is B, then we would have U of A plus BA greater than UB and U of B greater than UA plus BA. And if CAX equal A and CBY equal B, for two elements X and Y distinct from AB, then we would have both U of A greater than UB and UB greater than UA. The more interesting part is the other direction. Let C be an extended choice function satisfying the weak axiom and the default tendency. Define the relation on the set X product 0,1 as follows. The set of 0,1 as follows. For any pair AX for which CF AX is X, define x1 better than y0 for all y which is not in the set A, which is not x. Now, for any pair ax for which c of ax equal y different than x, define y0 strictly better than xy and y0 strictly better than z0 for all z which is in the set A and not x and y. Finally, extend the relation so that x1 is better than x0 for all x. The relation is not necessarily complete or transitive, but by the weak axiom, it is asymmetric. We'll see that the relation can be extended to a full ordering over the set X product 0,1, denoted by preference star. Using problem 4 and problem set 1, we only need to show that the relation does not have cycles. Assume that the preference that we've just defined has a cycle and consider a shortest cycle. By the weak axiom, there is no cycle of length 2, and thus the shortest cycle has to be at least of length 3. Steps A and B establish that it's impossible that the shortest cycle will contain a consecutive pair x0 preferred to y0. A. Assume that the cycle contains a consecutive segment x0 preferred to Y0 preferred to Z1. If Z equal to X, we obtain a contradiction to DT. X0 is better than Y0 implies that there is a set A containing A and Y and the third alternative A such that C of AA is X. Then also C of AX is X and X1 is better than Y0. If Z is not X, then there is a set A such that C of AZ is equal to Y. Since X0 is preferred to Y0, C of A union X with the default Z is also X, and X0 is preferred to Z1, thus we can shorten the cycle. B. Assume the cycle contains a consecutive segment of the type X0, preferred to Y0, preferred to Z0. By the weak axiom, the three elements are distinct. Since Y0 is better than Z0, there exists a set A containing Y and Z, and A in the set A, such that C of AA equal Y. If A is not X, then C of A union X, given the default A is X, and X0 is better than Z0, allowing us to shorten the cycle. If A equal to X, that is, if C of AX equal Y, then X0 preferred to Y0 preferred to X1, contradicting D of T, the default tendency. It remains to show that it's impossible for the shortest cycle to contain a consecutive segment of the following types. C, X0 better than Y1 better than Z0, and Y is not Z. If this were the case, then C of the set XYZ, given the default Y is equal to X, and X0 is better than Z0, thus allowing us to shorten the cycle. D. If X0 is better than Y1, better than Y0, better than Z1, namely if there is such a segment in the cycle, then by DT, Z is not X, and by definition, Z is not Y. Consider now C of XYZ given the default Z. By the weak axiom and the fact that Y0 is better than Z1, it cannot be Z. If it is X, then X0 is better than Y1, and we can shorten the cycle. If it is Y, then Y0 is better than X0, and we can shorten the cycle as well. We can conclude that the relation that we constructed does not have a cycle. Now let V be a utility function representing preference star. That's the extension of the preference to the entire set X, including ordering. Define U of X equal to VX0. And B of X be VX1 minus VX0 to obtain the result. If C of AA is A, then A1 is better than X0. For all X, which is not A, and thus U of A plus BA greater than UX for all X, that is C of AA equal to the DBP, the procedure DBP with the function UB at the set AA. If C of AA is X, then X0 is better than A1, and X0 is better than Y0 for all Y in A, which is not A, and X. Therefore, U of X greater than UA plus BA, and U of X greater than UY for all Y, which is not A or X. Thus, CAAA equal to DBP with the index as UB at the set AA. Comments on the significance of axiomatization. 1. There is something aesthetically attractive about the axiomatization. However, I doubt that such an axiomatization is necessary in order for an economist to develop a model in which the procedure will appear. As with other conventions in the profession, this practice appears to be a barrier to entry that places an unnecessary burden on researchers. 2. A necessary condition for an axiomatization of this type to be of importance is, in my opinion, that we can come up with examples of sensible procedures of choice that satisfy the axiom and are not specified explicitly in the language of the procedure we are axiomatizing. Can you find such a procedure for the above axiomatization? I'm unable to. Indeed, many of the axiomatizations in this field lack such examples, and thus, in spite of their aesthetic value, I find them to be futile exercises. Bibliographic notes.